Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle from CSN. Coming up, Blackhawks forward Vinny Hinostroza joined us. We'll get his thoughts on almost 5 years ago when he was drafted, what he's been up to this offseason, a different approach to his offseason workout. And is he going to continue to be a roommate with Ryan Hartman? We'll ask Vinny in just a second. And plus, Tracy Myers from CSNChicago.com will join us. We'll get all the latest on the Blackhawks coaching situation and what's going on in the postseason tournaments as well. But first up, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago's sporting events, tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and more. Go to VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today. We welcome Vinny Hinostroza to the Hawks Talk Podcast. Vinny, we're quickly approaching the draft. I want to get your memories from your draft experience 5 years ago, but let's start with the rookie year that just ended. How would you evaluate your first year in the NHL?
I think it was pretty good. I think, first of all, it was a learning experience, and going into next year, I'm really going to look forward to and try to make a bigger impact, whereas last year was kind of learning the ropes and doing all that, but now nothing's going to be new to any of us rookies. So I think as a whole, we're going to just try to make a bigger impact and see what we can do.
What did Stan Bowman and the coaches say to you in that exit interview that Saturday after the season came to an end?
Just kind of what I just said. Nothing's going to be new to me. I have the ability to help make an impact and help the team out. So that's something I really want to do. So I just want to focus on having a really great summer and come in and really be an impact out there.
What type of training have you been doing as far as working out? I'm sure you let the body rest a little bit after the season ended, but have you started your off-season workouts?
Yeah, I took about 2 weeks off and then started training about 3 weeks ago. And we've been doing a mixture of just regular lifting and some cardio and actually some jiu-jitsu and MMA. So it's fun to mix it up like that and work out in different ways.
Is the jiu-jitsu and the MMA a new wrinkle for you? Are you doing that with Ryan Hartman as well, or how are you taking part in that part of it?
Right now I'm just staying with my parents in the suburbs, so it's nice to be home. But there's a gym right over there that a bunch of pro guys come back to. So it's just guys from all over the place that are playing pro different places. So it's been fun so far.
Vinny, I know you played in Game 2 against Nashville in the playoffs. That experience and then now the opportunity to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, do you feel you have a good read on the different level of play needed to advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs, even though you had that limited taste?
Yeah, I think so. I think not playing in those other games, I really watched and I learned a lot and saw what how fast the game is and how simple it is. And even watching these teams that are playing now, it's just so simple and fast. And the team that makes the least mistakes usually wins and comes out on top. But I think just watching the playoffs and even taking that into the regular season next year is going to be a big help.
So you're out with the family, your mom and dad, and is your sister? We saw her star in the Winter Classic video leading up that Epics did. So who all is at home right now?
My sister and my parents. I just have one sister, so she's a nurse at Northwestern, and so it's nice that we're all together.
Are you still giving her the business about a boyfriend or whatnot like you were in the Epic stuff?
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
So what's the situation? You guys, during the season, you were roommates with Ryan Hartman. Is that going to continue going forward?
I think so. I'm not sure. I think we're going to look into either being roommates again or getting our own places, because it's not like if we're living away from each other, we can still hang out and go out to eat, but it's also nice to have a little place to go get away from everyone and just be alone.
How was were you the messier roommate? Was he, you know, who did the cooking? Who was the king of takeout from that group for you and Hartman?
I think Hartsy cooked a bit more. I think during the season, I'm always so tired that I rather order in or go pick something up quick. But now that it's the summer, I have a lot more time, and I've been cooking a lot. So I'm definitely going to look to cook more next year.
So now that you watch these Stanley Cup playoffs, are you pulling for Nashville to win it all, to hoist the cup? Or do you have any friends or former teammates that are still alive, either on Pittsburgh or the Sens?
I'm kind of just watching as a fan of hockey. I'm not really cheering for any team. I'm just watching the game and seeing how everyone's playing and different things like that. But on Pittsburgh, Brian Rust is there, and Ian Cole, and they're both Notre Dame guys. So it's been cool watching them. And I played with Rusty in college, and then Ian Cole is a bit older. So been following them the most, I think.
When you see what Rust has brought to the table and what they've dealt with injuries, you know, do you look at your role as being the type of guy that not only can use your speed, but your willingness to go to those tough areas? Is that something that, you know, you want to add to your NHL game here as we move on?
Yeah, I think just watching Rust, a player like that, a younger guy, it's awesome to see what he's done these past few years, and he's one of those guys that are pretty fast, but he's good defensively, and he's not afraid to go to the net. So watching him is a perfect example, and that's something I'm going to try to bring to my game more, is really getting in the corners and taking the puck to the net.
The NHL draft's coming to Chicago June 23rd and the 24th. We're quickly approaching the five-year anniversary. That's hard to believe, of when you were drafted. What do you remember from that 2012 draft day?
I just remember being there with my dad in Pittsburgh and hearing my name called. It was special, something you're never going to forget. But as soon as you hear it called, you're excited for about 10, 15 minutes. Then you realize how much work you have ahead of you to get here to the NHL. So it's a long process for some players. And going back to junior and then going through college, I knew there was going to be steps I had to take, and just be patient with it, as hard as it is.
Did you know going into the draft that the interest that the Blackhawks had, and did you feel that you had any shot of ending up with the team that you cheered for as a kid?
I really hope so. I mean, you talk to a few teams throughout the year, but you never really know what's going to happen at the draft. It's crazy, and you never know really anything that's going to happen there. So I kind of just hoped it was the Hawks all along, but I was lucky enough that they called my name, so here we are today.
What will stand out most to you from your first season here in the NHL? Is there a snapshot, a goal, an assist, a certain play that you'll remember most from this past season?
I think there's been so many great memories just being with the guys in the locker room and learning from all these great players. But I think the one thing is probably going to be my first goal. That's obviously something that you dream of as a kid, scoring your first goal in the NHL. And definitely something I'm never going to forget.
You know, the other thing, too, is I have to give you and, you know, Tyler, Hartsy, Carol, all you guys a lot of credit, because you went into this veteran established dressing room, and here you were trying to, you know, learn what it's like to be an NHLer, but then you were trying to learn how to kind of coexist with a bunch of guys that have won three cups. Do you feel that heading into training camp next year, that will probably, I guess, assume start at Notre Dame, that you'll have that, you know, comfortability factor that maybe you guys didn't have a year ago? Like, all right, we know we fit in. We kind of know what it takes to be an NHLer, and should make year two that much easier for you?
Yeah, I think just being around these guys this whole year, they made it so easy for us to come in and be comfortable in the locker room and really have a voice. Even when you think you shouldn't, because you're one of the younger guys. But I think going into next year, you built a relationship with every player on the team. So I think we're all going to be a lot more comfortable and really be able to be more comfortable on the ice and talking to these guys. So I think it's going to be good for everyone.
Last one for you here, Vinny. Any trips or concerts that you've got lined up this summer?
I think we're going to take a family trip. We haven't gone on a family vacation in a long time, so in a couple weeks we're going to go to Cabo with my parents, my sister, and also our cousins and stuff, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that'll be great. Well, enjoy Mexico. Enjoy the family trip. It was a lot of fun watching you in year one, and we look for bigger and brighter things down the road here, Vinny. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
That's Vinny Hinostroza joining us on the Hawks Talk Podcast.
After every Cubs game, stay tuned for Cubs Post Game Live, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, with David Kaplan and David DeJesus. Hear from Cubs players inside the locker room. Get a live look inside Joe Maddon's post game press conferences and more.
Joining us now on the Hawk Talk Podcast from CSNChicago.com, Tracy Myers. Tracy, how you doing?
Missing hockey, otherwise I'm good.
Missing hockey, so we've got to find ways to curb our appetite here. Patrick Kane returned from a trip in Mexico.
Yeah.
He was on WGN Radio on Tuesday morning on the Steve Cochran Show. What'd you take away from Patrick's interview?
It's still stinging. Still, it leaves, and we all know how big of a hockey fan Kane is. He admits he's still watching the playoffs. You hear from some guys, and they want no part of it once their postseason is done, but he's absolutely watching. Still a very sour taste with him, with a lot of the Blackhawks, I'm sure, with the way everything went down. And he said, listen, you know, the aggravating thing with Nashville was the way that they clogged everything up in the neutral zone.
The 1-3-1.
Yeah, he said, to give them credit. He said they're finding ways to win. They're losing a couple players. You lose Johansson the other night. I mean, that could have been and you still don't know. Let's see how it goes for them in the final. But this team is finding ways to get it done. And as he said, the better team won. There's no other way of putting it. He said that we weren't in that series whatsoever, just in case we weren't positive. I mean, we all watched it. But, you know, and he also talked about, you know, the mention of the hunger. Is it still there? And he goes, listen, four cups are always better than three.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, was this feeling of, okay, you're so used to doing it. They were on a beautiful run there for a couple of years. Right. Did it almost get caught in their heads of, oh, yeah, every year it's a little different. Every year it's a little tougher. Every year teams change and the challenges change. And maybe they got caught up in, oh, it's we're not going to do this year. And so they have to get that feeling back of, you know what, this isn't easy. And the work that goes into it is astronomical.
That was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
That, you know, here he is 10 years in and winner of three cups saying, you know, you forget how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing is all those three cups, there were some, I don't want to say fortuitous bounces, because you win a cup, you win a cup. But to get those 16 wins, you know, we talked about in 2013, that first round appearance against the Wild. You remember, Joel, how he was not happy, even though they advanced.
Nope.
You can look to, you know, the Nashville series in 2010. You can look every step of the way that, you know, the road is more difficult than when you look back at it. You say, oh, they won in 2013. That was it wasn't a piece of cake if you really look back at it. And obviously they ran into a good team in Nashville that obviously will make their first appearance in the Stanley Cup final. So, and the other thing that drove me was I thought that the first round exit to the Blues was going to fuel them, kind of like the Kings loss in the Western Conference Finals did
in 14.
Obviously, that didn't work out. I'm wondering if maybe this one does, because I do think they realize whatever they do in the regular season, it really doesn't matter. They just finished off their second-best regular season in franchise history, and we're not going to ever talk about that because of the four losses in the first round.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if they look at last year in the series that they had against the Blues and everything, and, you could say, okay, that's a reminder of how much we need to come into this season. You could have also looked back on that and said, well, you know, we lost that series because it was three straight years of Cup, Western Conference Final Cup. We were tired. This year there was really, I don't think, that excuse certainly wasn't there. But there's no doubt. I mean, if you're not motivated to come back and wash that taste out of your mouth with the way that series went down, then I don't think you can get motivated. So I absolutely foresee a team coming out and saying, okay, we have a ton to prove. And listen, they're not the champs anymore.
Right.
That's all there is to it. And so they're, you know, certainly still one of the best teams the last couple of years, but they come into next year with something to prove.
So, you know, and Kane also said a lot of work ahead. So, yep. You know, the some of the key words, bad taste, a lot of work ahead. So one of the cornerstones realizes that they got to get their act together. Let's move to coaching. Mm-hmm. We're hearing Ulf Samuelsson is the leading candidate to replace Mike Kitchen. What do you know?
I've heard that they have been talking. It doesn't sound like there's anything imminent. I read what Stan told the Sun-Times, Stan Bowman, when he was over at the World Championships, that they're going to take their time on this and everything and make sure that they get it right at the same time if it ends up being Samuelsson. What a great fit. First of all, this is a great excuse to play Brass Bonanza every time the Blackhawks come on the ice because you'll have three ex-Hartford Whalers back there. But I think it would be... I don't know if it's a salve on the wound in terms of, you know, Quenneville lost one of his guys, but gets a chance to get another one of his guys, maybe. I think it would be an awesome fit. So, if you're hearing a name that prominently, you would assume that something could happen.
I think you have you're hitting on a lot of key points there. If we're trying to find a candidate that works for both Joel mm-hmm. and the front office, you know, I covered Ulf, I think, his final year in the NHL. He had an edge to his game as a defenseman, not known to be the cleanest of players. Yeah. My thought was, while this is a completely different NHL, mm-hmm. We've talked numerous times about finding players with edge. Mm-hmm. Maybe a coach that has that in his DNA
sure.
will help identify or bring that out of some players
yeah.
to realize that that's that type of play, when harnessed correctly, is what you need to advance.
Yeah, the talent obviously is there, the veteranship, the experience and everything, but there needs to be more bite, and like you said, maybe getting that killer instinct back, and so maybe a little bit of a fresh blood, at least on the coaching standpoint, with that. And like you said, with Samuelsson and the way he played his game in the past, I believe he played for Scotty Bowman.
He played for everybody, so I'm assuming
that
he
great
played.
Connection, with the Bowmans and with Joel, so that that would help also. So yeah,
and he's been behind the bench too with the Rangers
sure.
now,
Carolina's minor league team right now.
Yeah, right, and he was part of the 14 Cup team that lost to the LA Kings.
He's also with Coach Dave Tippett out in Arizona, another former Hartford teammates, so they all mesh along very well.
They do, including the new head coach in the AHL ranks, Jeremy Culleton, who is going to replace Ted Dent in Rockford. Jeremy is the youngest coach in the AHL at 32, played in, I think seven different leagues, 50-60 games with the Islanders in the NHL, but his career ended in Sweden. And then he went right into coaching.
Yeah.
What do we know about him?
Yeah, we talked to him at the end of last week. First of all, a great talker, says all the right things. And, this is a guy, and he admitted, listen, I would love to still be playing. Unfortunately, concussion issues, and that was where he hung it up in 2014 with Sweden, and then ended up coaching the same team.
Because he was drafted right near Corey Crawford.
Yes. Yeah. So, had to quit playing at 28, 29.
Yeah.
Had very young children at the time, and, would have loved to kept playing. But he transitioned into this new role, had a lot of success over in Sweden. And like he was saying, he's going to be an AHL coach. He spent a good amount of his career in the AHL, so he knows what it's like to have to take that next level. He knows what these guys are going to have to do. He said, listen, we're there to win, obviously, but at the same time, my job is to develop these guys to make them ready for the NHL.
Let's put a bow on the World Championships. Sweden wins.
Yes.
Marcus Kruger, big
almost
goal.
He almost had a goal. It popped over his stick.
Your thoughts on Kruger's play in the World Championship and his chances of coming back? He's a $3 million cap hit for the third line center.
Yeah, he does a lot, but
and Joel loves him. I know Joel really loves
sure,
him.
Sure, because a couple years ago, when the Blackhawks were kind of piecing everything together after the 11-12 season, he got Kruger and he got Michael Frolik, and he said, I need some penalty killers. Let's see how you guys do. And they did a tremendous job. Just fantastic. And someone that Joel trusts, but at $3 million a year for a fourth line center, That's a lot, you know, and we're running into this cap issue again with everything. And so, the Blackhawks have a lot of decisions to make right now. I think we talked about it. They're 3.5 over the cap, the current cap.
Right.
But still, they're going to have an overage. They have some math to figure out, and I don't know if they're going to be able.
Yeah, you have to find somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, obviously Andrew Shaw, Joel said he was irreplaceable, and maybe, as it turns out, he was, because they couldn't find the Moxie type of player to do to fill his role. But you got to find it somewhere. And so maybe you can find a cheaper third line center and then use that money elsewhere. Maybe Tanner Carroll, whoever they decide.
Exactly, yeah. You've had a couple young guys emerge to where they might be able to make that a little easier transition.
Artemi Panarin is the most outstanding forward at the Worlds. I don't know where I saw it. So many different Blackhawk, websites and different, pages I belonged or, check out. But hearing people say that, Panarin could be traded, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even see how that can come out of your mouth.
I think it's another thing that we all do it to a point, we're all thinking cap.
Yes.
Salary cap. He's a salary you could move. It's a short contract.
Yeah, because everybody would want him.
Exactly, everybody would want him. But it's one of those things.
He's really, really good.
He's really, really good. And since he's one of the friendly contracts that you actually have.
And he's young on a team that's aging. So, let's put all that together.
Yeah.
I mean, don't just say Artemi Panarin, we got to move him because a bunch of guys have no movement clauses.
Right.
It doesn't work. I mean, there are ways to move guys with no movement clauses. You don't just pick the two guys that don't have new movement clauses and say, okay, well, then we got to move him.
Well, like I said, I think it's the easy solution that people want to go. It's funny. Whenever you see all these solutions, quote unquote, for cap problems, they're either the easiest or the most convoluted ideas I've ever seen. But no, I see where people are coming from, but it's a bad idea because you've got a very low salary issue, really, with him. I should say a low term.
And a top 10 scorer the last 2 years.
And a top 10 scorer. And you finally got a line with Patrick Kane. You got him your center. You got him a left wing that he can play with on a consistent basis that has that chemistry. Just leave it alone, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So let's stop the Panarin trade stuff because that's just nonsensical. Memorial Cup in Windsor in Joel Quenneville's hometown. Some Hawks prospects shining. Graham Knott, the host team, the Windsor Spitfires. He's the 2015 second-round pick. How about another second-round pick? Last year, Alex DeBrincat from your Erie Otters, OHL's most outstanding player.
Yeah.
This kid is good.
I've caught clips of him, and I saw him in prospect camp and all that and everything. But watching him with that team last night, and I'd caught snippets during the Predators-Ducks game, I had caught one power play, one of the five that they didn't score on, and just the work that those guys do. And DeBrincat was at the point and everything, just work so well together. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine, and this is an incredibly talented kid. Scott Powers said it because he's really followed him. He said, I'm seeing everything with this kid. There's no reason to think that he couldn't make an impact next year in the NHL. And again, we forget about the size. He is what he is size-wise.
Yeah.
But this kid is a talent, and he's not afraid to go into the dirty areas, and so I'm very intrigued to see what he might do.
Great stuff, Tracy Myers. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
We'll be following you on Twitter, csnchicago.com, very latest. Any movement, if Will Samuelson becomes the assistant, whatever, Tracy will have it for you first. So our thanks to Tracy Myers. Also, our thanks to Vinny Hinestroza, who joined us. And Vivid Seats is your one-stop shop for all Chicago sporting events this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and you name it, they've got the tickets. Go to VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today. That'll do it for the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening, everybody, and go Hawks.